Good morning, Agape. How are you doing this morning? Hey, I am outside today and gonna record this message in a little bit different spot. I'm in my neighborhood and there's this little opening in the gate here, and we go from a very nice kind of like gated community to real Thailand, I like to call it. So gonna go walk through here, find a place that we can maybe get something quiet. Here's where I don't know if you can see that over there, but that's where they practice cockfighting. Supposedly it's illegal, so they just practice there. That's what they tell me. We're on the canal here, and a lot of Thailand has a lot of canals. Thailand is known as the Venice of the East, and so across the canal there, that's pretty typical living conditions. We call this a klong, actually. And so we're gonna walk down here. There's a spot down here where the road stops, and find a place where we can do this message and give you guys a little bit more of a feel for Thailand. Hopefully this will be good. I don't know if you can see that in the background. There's a lady there in a boat harvesting some stuff. And so I tried to get out here early this morning so it wouldn't be too much sun on my face or too bright. It is still upper 80s, lower 90s for our highs. And so Merry Christmas in cold Clear Lake, Iowa, from hot, sunny Bangkok, Thailand. Hey guys, I don't know how well you can see me. Hopefully this is okay and there's not too much noise in the background. But let's just pray and we'll get started here. And just have a little short thing that I really feel on my heart that I want to share with you, and hopefully will be a blessing to you as we head into the holiday season. So let's pray and we'll get started, okay? God, we just thank you so much for this beautiful day that you've given us. Thank you that you are always providing everything that we need, Lord. And no matter where we're at in the world, there is no distance in the spirit, Father God. And I pray that these words would be anointed. I pray that you would speak to the hearts of everybody that is hearing these words today, and that you would speak through me, Lord, that they wouldn't be my words, but that they would be your words, Father. And we pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, we're coming into the Christmas season, and a lot of times when we think about the Christmas season, we think about gifts. If you're like me, you think about gifts. I always think about gifts. I want to know what I'm getting. I want to know I want to know, that lady's still in the boat behind me. I want to know, you know, we're getting things, we're giving things. And I want to talk to you about something that you have in your life, and that is a gift. And I want us to start with the parable of the talents. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, it says, Jesus says this, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who's called his own servants and delivered goods to them. And to one, we're not gonna read the whole thing, but you know, to the one he gave five, to the one he gave two, and to the one he gave one. And the one that he gave five to turned it into 10. And the one that he gave two to turned it into four. And the one that he gave one to buried it and put it in the ground. The master came back, said to the one that he gave five to that turned it into five, said, well done, you did a good job. The second guy, same thing. And the third guy, he said, you know, why did you just bury it? He said, why, at the very least, you could have put this on deposit at the bank and earned interest. And so there's a few things in this parable. First of all, I think this parable is specifically talking about money. In Jesus's time, if you said a talent of something, it meant a measure or a weight of gold or silver. I think a talent was either 200 kilograms of gold and 100 kilograms of silver. So it's a measurement of money. And so I don't think we can necessarily completely glean everything as far as our own gifts and talents from this parable, but there are a lot of things that we can learn and that we can see, and I want us just to look at a few of those things. First of all, it's hot outside, which is why I don't normally do this outside. The master gave the talents according to each one's ability. Now, Sometimes we get upset with the things that God's given us, and we think he should have given us more, or we wish he would have given us more. But sometimes what we have to realize is God gives us what we are ready for and what we can handle. I was discussing this with a few church members last week, and we were talking about how, you know, some people aren't ready to receive blessings because those blessings would turn into curses and cursing in their life. I told him about a friend who was very successful, a friend of mine, very successful when he was younger, and it ended up not being a blessing to his life. It ended up causing destruction in his life, and let that motorcycle go by. And so we all have an ability, and we can develop that ability, we can grow in that ability, we can be more trustworthy, we can be more faithful, we can be more reliable, we can develop ourselves, we can grow spiritually, we can do all these things that will take us to a place where God's able to give us more and to entrust us more. But here's the deal. How do we find out what might be a gift in our life that God has given us? First of all, one thing that I want to tell you is in Romans chapter 11, Paul says that the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Now, that tells me that we all have a gift. We all have a gift. And I think that this you know, this parable about the gifts, or about the talents and the giftings and the things that we're good at, they're irrevocable. The things that God has created in you. Number one, they're going to be things that come easy to you. They're going to be things that you're passionate about. They're going to be things that you enjoy doing naturally. You know, there are certain things that I don't enjoy doing naturally. Those aren't my gifts. Those aren't my talents. Those aren't things that I'm going to, that God's going to, you know, he can use those things. But what I'm really going to be focused on is those things that I do naturally. I read this a couple weeks ago. Find the thing that you use to distract yourself, whatever that may be. If you distract yourself with music, maybe your gifting is music. Because if you find the thing that you use to distract yourself or to procrastinate doing your actual work, that is probably the thing that you are passionate about. And so find that thing that you're passionate about, find that thing that you're good at, find that thing that is distinctly you, and then focus on it. Here's the deal. If you don't use the talent and the gift that God has given you, in this parable, at the end, he says that he took the one talent from the third guy. He took it and gave it to the one who had 10. Now, here's what I think happens with our talents, with our giftings, okay? I think this parable specifically is very directly talking about money. But what we can take from this parable is we do have our gifts still, because the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. They're still there. But what happens is this. It's almost as if they're not there because they've lied dormant so long in our life. And I think a modern day version of this parable would be like, you know, he gave one man a MacBook and an iPhone. And he gave the other guy a computer and something else. And he gave the last guy a computer. And instead of burying the computer, we wouldn't go bury a computer. But what happened? That computer has so much ability to do something. You can learn anything with the internet. You can develop anything. You can learn any skill. You can start any business. You can do so many things. And that's the access to it. But if we don't use that, it'd be like the computer didn't get buried, but you know what? It got put away underneath that pile of clothes in the back of the closet, and in a sense, buried and not used. But it's there the whole time. And the gift that God has given you is there. And it's been buried in your life, maybe for a really, really, really long time. And you need to dig it up and start using it. In this parable, Jesus says to the man that he gave one talent to, he said, at the very least, you could have put it in the bank and gotten interest. And so I want to talk to you about what is the very least thing that you can do with your talent. What is the very least thing that you can do with your talent? And I'm going to be very honest with you. From a Christian standpoint, from someone who's been in the ministry for a long time, who's grown up in the church, because we're not talking about money that we can just put in the bank on deposit and get interest. We're talking about our gifts and our abilities within us. I'm going to say that the very least thing that you can do with your talent is come to church and volunteer. Come to church and volunteer. Volunteer. Take whatever skill that you have and use it for God. That's the very least you can do. And I'm gonna make it easy for you. If you're really good with being organized, you have this gift of being organized, come to the church leadership and tell them, man, I'm gifted in organizing, anything you can have me do. If you're gifted in repairs and work, come to the church and tell them, I'm really good at this, I'm gifted at this, what can I do? And I promise you, they'll find something that you can do. Because if you don't use your gift, you're gonna lose it. If you don't use a skill, you lose it. And if you use it only for getting money, it's not glorifying God, and God's not gonna be the one that's multiplying that in your life. So do the very least and come to church and give it to God. Here's the deal. It's like when Jesus fed the 4,000, okay? I'm gonna open my Bible here. In Mark chapter 8, he fed the 4,000, and this is what it says here. It says that the disciples came to him and said, we've got all these people, what are we gonna do? We need to feed them. We're gonna take a pause. This is what's happening behind me. If you hear all that noise, she's just down there collecting vegetables, getting something. She's probably gonna go sell in the market, I don't know, some water vegetable. Anyways, if that's the noise that you hear, that's what it is. I hope you guys like me. I feel like sometimes you probably think I'm a little goofy. So, I don't know if that's going to work anymore. So, in Mark chapter 8, the disciples come to Jesus and say, we have all these people, let's send them home so that they can go and eat. This account is in almost all of the Gospels, but I want to read the one that's in Mark chapter 8. And it says in verse 2, it says, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar. Verse 4, then his disciples answered him, how can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. In another gospel, it says, well, what do you have? And they go and they find the people and they ask the people what they have, and they collect up all these things, and they collect up, you know, 7 loaves of bread. And so sometimes in our own life, what we do is we have a dream. I think we all have a dream. And if you don't have a dream right now that you're dreaming about doing something, then maybe that dream has died. Maybe that dream has been buried for so long that it's no longer alive and vibrant within. With that dream, many times, what is your answer when I say, what does it take for you to do your dream to come true? Most people's answer is going to say, well, you know, I don't have enough, or I don't have the thing that I need. And Jesus didn't ask them if what they had was enough. It's really important that we hear this. Listen to me. He did not ask his disciples if they had enough food. He asked them, what do you have? And they said, 7 loaves. And we have 4,000 people. There's no way that we can feed them. What we need to do, when God's asking us, and I believe God is asking us, what is it that's in our heart? What are we dreaming about doing? What is the gift that we've been given? What are the things that we can do that God has placed in our life? And I think Agape, I think you guys have such a gift in Clear Lake. You have such a uniqueness. You have such potential to reach the community. Whenever I'm there, I always experience and get this feeling from you guys. You just love people. It doesn't matter what they look like, how they are. You just love people. And so how is Agape going to love Clear Lake better? The answer isn't what's it going to take and do you have enough? That's answering the wrong question. The question is, what do you have in your hands? You might have time in your hands. You might have a facility in your hands. You might have a counselor in your hands that has free time. You might have whatever resource you have. I don't know all of you guys, but I know that you're talented. So how are you gonna love Clear Lake better in 2024? I'm not asking you what's it gonna take. I'm asking you, what do you already have? What's this beautiful thing that you already have? And then are you willing to give that to God? God's not saying go find everything and prepare everything and make sure that you have enough. Jesus is not asking the disciples, do you have enough? He's asking them what they have. And my question for you today is, what do you have? Don't look at what you don't have, look at what you do have. You have amazing things that are sitting right there in those chairs right now. And those gifts and those talents shouldn't be laying dormant. They shouldn't be going by the wayside. Now, let me add this little disclaimer in there. Just because you have a gifting or you think you have a gifting doesn't mean that you get to use it in the church, okay? Be submitted to leadership, all right? I'm a pastor, I have to say that. Trust me, it needs to be said. Otherwise, people just run wild and this doesn't work, okay? But take the thing that you have. Now, here's what happens.
สวัสดีครับทักทายเพื่อนไหมครับทักทายเพื่อนไหมครับเพื่อนที่ไหนอ่ะที่อเมริกาโอ้โหไกลไปหรือเปล่านี่บอกว่า
hello
hello แล้วก็
come to Thailand
อะไรนะ
come to Thailand
come to Thailand
โอ้โหเจ็บตรงตา yeah take the thing that you have and give it to him. Now this is the thing that's going to happen, and that's what happened in here. Jesus, he took the 7 loaves in verse 6. It says, so he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he gave them, and he took the 7 loaves and gave them, broke them and gave them to the disciples and set before them, and they set them before the multitude. They gave the 7 loaves to Jesus, and he gave thanks for them. You know, I know a lot of people that never give thanks for the talent that God's given them. They just complain about the things that they don't have. Jesus didn't complain about the lack of bread. He didn't talk about, oh, how much we need. We always talk about how much we need and what we need and how we're able to you know, what we need to do the things that to do what we need to do the things that God's called us to do. Jesus gave thanks for the very, very, very little thing that he had. And that was bread. It was 7 loaves of bread. The second thing that he did, which is extremely difficult. It's extremely difficult for the life of the Christian. And here's why. Jesus took the bread, he gave thanks for it, and then what did he do? He broke it. And we don't like it when things in our life get broken. We don't like it when things in our life go through difficulties. We don't like it when the church goes through difficulties. We don't like it when things don't go the way that we want it to go. But it's a necessity. It's something that has to happen, because you want to know what? A lot of times we don't realize God's there until things are over. And then during the time of being broken, we don't realize that he's right there in the midst of us. But it's that period, and it's not easy. It's not easy. Oh man, I've been through some periods in my life. It's not easy. But are you willing to allow God to break some things off of your life? To break bad habits, to break whatever it is. There's so many contexts that this can be translated into. But are you willing to let God break you? The gift that he's given you. You know, so many times you take this, you look at people's stories, their success stories, and there's almost always a time that the thing that they're doing, that they believe that they're gifted in, almost fails. It's broken. And sometimes we need those times, because then when it's broken is when we really give it to God. Go, you know what, God, I see this happening a lot. People think that they have a gift or a talent, so they pursue that, and they do what they think they're supposed to do, and they do it in their own strength, and guess what, they can't. And so what happens, it ends up broken, and they turn around and they go, here, God, you can have it now. I broke it. I've done that so many times in my life. Like, I broke it. Sorry. And God restores it. There's a few people in the Bible, and I'll end with this, and then I might talk with this lady a little bit more. Genesis chapter 28, Jacob, he's fleeing because Isaac had blessed him, and Esau was after him, and he went to sleep and had a dream, and I'm gonna read the this verse for you. Genesis chapter 28. Verses 10 through 19. He was asleep and God spoke to him and said, I am with you. I will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to the land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Here's the deal. God has spoken things to you. God has spoken things to Agape. God has spoken things to you personally and individually. He says, behold, I am with you. Verse 15. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. God's not going to leave us. No matter where you think that you're at right now, no matter how bad you think it is where you're at right now, it doesn't matter. God's not going to leave you until he's done what he said he's going to do in your life. The only variable in it is you. Are you going to do what he's told you to do? Are you going to say, hey, I do believe that I have a gifting? Are you going to say, all right, God, you gave me this gifting. I'm going to go use it. Or what's your narrative in your brain? Are you saying, God, I'm going to do whatever it is that you want me to do? Or are you saying, well, I don't have enough. Well, I don't have what it takes. Well, if I just had this opportunity. Well, if I just had this. Oh, well, if this didn't happen, then I'd be there in my life. Are you saying that? Or are you saying, no, God is going to make happen what he said he's going to make happen. And then trust in him. Here's what happened. Joseph's another really good example. When Jacob woke up, verse 16, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Here's what's going to happen, Agape, and you individually, whoever you are. There's going to come a time when you're going to wake up, and all the time of being broken and all the difficulties and all the challenges are going to be behind you, and you're going to say to yourself, God was with me the entire time, and I didn't even know it. I've had some dark nights. I've had some challenging seasons, and it feels like God's not there. But in the end, you always wake up, or you not necessarily wake up, but there's a moment when you go, oh, I'm past that. I'm past that, and I didn't even realize it. It was really difficult while I was going through it, but I'm past it now. And God was with me the whole time, and I didn't even realize it. And that's what's going to happen to you. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you guys as individuals, and I want to pray for you as Agape. Lord, I just thank you right now that you've given gifts and talents to everybody that is there. Every person has a gifting and has a talent. Father, I pray that you would give them all an ability and an understanding of the gift that you've given them, Father. I pray and I ask that you would help them to see these talents that you've given them, Father. Help them to be brave enough to do the things that you've called them to do. Give them the ability and the braveness and the boldness to take steps. Father, help them to change and transition their thinking from answering the question of what is my dream, instead of answering it from a place of lack and answering with the things that we don't have and the things that we need, but beginning to answer it with what we do have and those things that we do have in our hands, and that we give it to Jesus. We bless it. We thank God for it. We are thankful and have gratitude for the little, even if it's just as little as 7 loaves. We thank you for the things that we do have in our hands, Lord, and we give it to you, and if need be, we allow it to be broken. We allow ourselves to be broken, our pride to be broken, so that we can glorify you, Father. Lord, I pray for 2024 to be an amazing year for Agape. That when they get to the end of 2024, they're going to realize, man, you know what? God was there through all of it. We didn't even know it sometimes. And I'm sure they can think of that now for 2023. Lord, we commit all of our plans into your hands. And we give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Guys, I love you. I hope you enjoyed Thailand on the canal. I'll show you this back here. There's a bunch of banana trees planted on the side of the canal. Those are all banana trees. Awesome. You say